You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Why can't I say more? Why can't I say as many words as I want, Brian?
I thought it was fine.
You need to R-E-L-A-X and let me run the table. Okay.
Oh, man.
Enthusiasm, that's all.
Dude, we can make that into a t-shirt. You know how, like, the keep calm and whatever shirts?
Just relax and run the table.
That'd be awesome.
That's not bad. Actually, that's not bad.
That is a t-shirt right there.
I love it.
Relax while I run the table.
Brian, get dude.
Relax and run the table.
Check New York Bozo. New York Bozo. New York Bozo.
I gotta get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Oh, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me? Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to a playoff edition of Pack to the Future podcast. I am your host, Woo! John Jameson. It is so phenomenal to be talking about playoff football. It is coming to Lambeau Field because the Packers absolutely took care of business this past Sunday night against the Detroit Lions. And we are NFC North champions, and we are playing the dreaded New York Giants at Lambeau. Hopefully third time is a charm. And I'm looking forward to this. You know, the Packers officially ran the table. And it's just so good to be talking about some playoff football again. And joining me in this playoff football coverage is the one and only Commander-in-Chief, Brian Fonfara. How are you doing tonight, Commander-in-Chief, good sir?
I am feeling great, man. We finished running the table for the regular season. Took me a few weeks to believe that it could actually happen, but it did. And now I'm a believer. We are going to finish what we started, run the table all the way through to February. We are not done yet.
We'll see you in Houston. And I think if memory serves me, Reklekalek, Pride and Glory is actually paying for all of our flights to Houston for the Super Bowl to cover it there.
Of course.
Yes. I talked to Fred earlier about it, and he's cool with it. So, Dusty?
He's down.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing real good, man. Like you said, we're talking playoffs. It's a little of the shine got taken off before the game when the Redskins mercifully lost, so we knew we were in. But still, what was on the table was either the Giants at home or the Seattle away, so there's still big rooting interest in this game. Had some people over. Really fun game to watch. A little nerve-wracking at times, but yeah, always exciting to talk about playoff football, so I'm doing great.
Yes, sir. And Jordan Peck. We missed you last week. I love saying that we did miss you, and I felt like I did an adequate job filling in your place in the coin toss and running down some Twitter questions. So I tried to do my best Jordan impression last week, and what did you think of it?
I thought you did fine. I loved it. I loved it. I didn't love it as much as my own voice, but I thought it was a good effort.
Jordan, you big old sweetheart, you little put a little sugar on top of that one.
It's the holiday season. It's just how I'm feeling.
And
he's trying to win the coin
football.
Toss for later, John.
Right. Oh yeah, Packers playoff. Yeah, that too. Yeah, I really want to win the coin toss. That's why I'm doing this.
And with the introductions out of the way, we will now get going with our coin toss segments. And starting things off, we got some moves happening in the offseason potentially. There's been some rumors that Ted Thompson might take a senior advisor role and let Elliot Wolf step in and be the new GM. So with that being said, I'm going to bring in Dusty and Brian on this one. And my question for you guys is simple. It is, would the Packers be making the right move promoting Elliot Wolf? And if the coin is heads, Brian, you will tell me that promoting Elliot Wolf is the right move for the Packers. And it is heads. So, Brian, it is the right move.
It's absolutely the right move. Not enough can be said about the great job that Ted Thompson has done over the years, but Ted Thompson has flaws. Ted Thompson is also in his 60s and about ready to walk out the door, whereas Elliot Wolf is in his mid-30s. He's rumors coming out that he's very highly sought after in some of these GM openings around the league. We already let John Dorsey, John Snyder, and Reggie McKenzie go. We cannot keep letting all of this young GM talent walk out the door. And I think it's just time for something new. Elliot Wolf would have the benefit of Ted Thompson whispering in one ear and his father whispering in his other ear. And that, for me, is a pretty darn good group of people to listen to. That's two Super Bowl winning GMs right there. One of whom took a risk on Aaron Rodgers. The other one took an even bigger risk on Brett Favre. So, yeah, I think you'd see a little bit different of a philosophy. And I think that could be helpful by now.
And Dusty?
I mean, I don't want to say it's necessarily the wrong move, but I don't necessarily think it's the right one. We, for better or worse, we know what Ted is. There's always complaints about him. He doesn't really delve too much into free agency, except he does when he feels like it makes a move or it can make a difference. We saw that with just Jared Cook this past offseason. We saw that with Peppers a couple off seasons ago. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and splurge. And sometimes I get a little frustrated with him, I will admit, because he does ignore some of their glaring issues that could be shored up with, say, a bit player, maybe a mid-level guy in free agency to kind of bolster depth. But his drafting, and even beyond that, his eye for undrafted talent is unlike anything I think that I've seen. It's been said so many times how many guys are on the roster that that he drafted or he pulled in after the draft. We're even seeing that now. We've got Geronimo Allison contributing. We've got Ty Montgomery, who was drafted, who is now going into a running back role that didn't get a whole lot of time this past week, but is going to be a very good running back for us going forward, I believe. The depth and the drafts that Thompson has had prove that he is still one of the best in the business when it comes to that. And I don't want to shuttle him off just because we think Wolf is the next big thing. Yeah, he'll have his dad, Ron Wolf, and Ted Thompson possibly in his ear if Thompson sticks around. But if Thompson doesn't stick around, we just don't really know what Wolf's going to do. And Thompson is very, very good at this. And I just hate to let a guy like that go.
All right. Picking a winner time. Both great arguments. And I will go ahead and give this one to Brian.
Ooh. That's the right call.
Wow.
Whoa, Jordan, what's the ooh for?
No, nothing. I'm just...
Come on, Jordan. No, speak your mind. Speak your mind and do your question next. No, speak your mind and do your question next.
I'm not questioning Brian's opinion. I'm questioning... No, it's not. You guys just do what you want to. I will say nothing more.
That's the right answer. Man.
I feel pretty insulted.
Yeah. As you should, Brian. But but now let's move on to the next one. And Dusty and Brian and Jordan will actually now be going at each other. So guys, I want this one to be as heated of a coin toss as this gets. I want to hear a nice little cat fight right here. So the question I got for you guys is this: is this Quentin Rollins injury a blessing in disguise? So Jordan, seeing as that you weren't in the first one, you get the first crack at this, and if the coin is tails, you will tell me that this was a blessing in disguise. And it is heads. This is not a blessing in disguise.
It's not a blessing in disguise because this secondary that we have, particularly at the cornerback position, has an incredibly small amount of depth. Quentin Rollins has not played well. He did not play well against Detroit. The other quarterbacks, Demaryius Randle, did not play particularly well against Detroit. Gunter played fine. The other guys, I mean, Dorleant got hurt. This is a wounded team. So to say that an injury is a blessing in disguise, I think it's a bit of a reach. Looking back at the Detroit game, you had Micah Hyde fill in at cornerback for a little bit. He played fine, got the pick. you know, that was a nice play on the ball that he made. In terms of speed, if you're talking about having Hyde and Gunter as the cornerbacks, that's not great. Those guys are not quick. And when you talk about quickness and speed, you know, a guy like Odell Beckham comes to mind, which is a guy we're facing this Sunday. That's a problem. That's a big problem. So, I mean, we look back at the other game we played against the Giants. Odell Beckham didn't have a great game. But I think in order for us to really contain him this game, there's going to have to be a lot of deep safety help, which means the middle of the field is exposed, and which we all know has been a big issue for this team. So I think any hit to our secondary depth is certainly not a blessing. I think Rollins is still capable of making a play or two, and having him out of the lineup, I think, it definitely hurts our team more than it helps it.
And Brian.
All right, so calling it a blessing, even in disguise, might be a little strong, but here's why it's not really going to hurt us. Jordan mentioned the middle of the field being opened up. I mean, whatever cornerbacks you have in there, that middle of the field is just a gash at any given time. So I don't think that's really going to have that big of an impact on that. To go a little bit more positive than that very negative note, I won't mention any certain defensive coordinators I don't like. but Don's defenses seem to do better.
You just mentioned it. You just mentioned it. You can't do that.
You lied. I didn't say his last name. Oh. Shut up, Jordan. This is my time.
It's John wanted this to be heated, so I got to interrupt you.
Ooh!
Shut up, Jordan. Dr. Dom Capers. His defenses. They tend to do better when he is forced into simplifying things, when he doesn't have these, you know, complex coverage schemes and complex blitzing schemes, and he just kind of plays in this base 3-4 and, you know, adjusts the secondary as needed. You know, this is really going to hurt in terms of, you know, one-on-one coverage, but really, this is the Giants, and their offensive game plan is throw to Odell Beckham Jr. as many times as is humanly possible within 60 minutes of game time. So you still have Ladarius Gunter, who has been our best cornerback this year, to go up against him. You know Eli Manning doesn't like to throw the ball to anybody else. I mean, simplify things. This young group of defenders, they do better when the defense is simplified. So I think overall, the defense will be improved enough, maybe in the front seven, maybe even in the secondary, that this will kind of be negated a little bit.
All right.
Take that, Jordan.
Brian, I mean, what's been said has been said. And Jordan listened to the rules about this particular coin toss. And
I told him to shut up, and then I said Dr. Dom Capers. If that doesn't get me a point, I don't know what does.
I mean, well, here's the thing. You didn't call out Jordan directly, besides the fact that you did tell him to shut up because you were talking. But that takes away from the heatedness of it. And Jordan, based on the fact that you brought the heat and called out Brian mid argument, you have won this coin toss.
As long as we acknowledge that he did not win because of his football knowledge.
No, that's absolutely
dangerous. Then that's fine.
It doesn't,
that's fine.
It doesn't matter. This is the most satisfying win I've had all season. This is great.
All right, Dusty, rip Jordan a new one, please.
Yes!
No, I will not.
Yes, guys. Come on, let's keep it going. We actually have a very, very special coin toss question for our last coin toss question of the night. It is actually, we actually received a Twitter question that was so good that we just couldn't pass on making it a coin toss question. So with no further ado, this was sent in by Christina Jenkins. She is at Christina_41. And her question is as follows. Where does this offense stand with Cobb? Is Allison a better option due to his speed and size? And Nelson out of the slot? So, Dusty, if I flip the coin and it is heads, you will tell me that this offense is better suited with Cobb in it. And here we go. And it is heads. So this offense is better with Randall Cobb.
I mean, first of all, if we're keeping the heat, I'm just going to start off by saying I heard Jordan smells bad and can't read too good. Take that heat.
Read too well, Dusty.
You know what, Jordan?
Don't even. Just talk about Kyle.
All right.
We're going to send Jordan to the Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good.
See? And that's where I learned it from. I learned it from someone else who said that because I'm smart and I pick up things in pop culture. Jordan.
Boom.
All right. So my case for Cobb. So first of all, I'm a big Cobb fan. And so, I'd kind of go for him anyway, but, I mean, really the case is for Cobb, but also kind of against Allison. It's just kind of Cobb's been doing this since 2011. Since that time, I don't have the actual numbers in front of me, but he's caught, close to 70% of his passes. What he's really, really good at, he doesn't have a whole lot of straight line speed, neither does Allison, but he's got really short area quickness where if you get him in space, he can make guys miss, just unlike a lot of guys in this league can. That's been missing a little bit with the ankle injury, but he can do that very well. I've not seen that out of Allison. Really good blocker in space. You get those little wide receiver screens out to the edges. You get Cobb and Nelson on one side. Cobb's going to make that block. I've seen Allison do that, just not consistently. Especially if we're talking playoffs, man, like you want guys that you know can do that kind of thing and that you can count on. And we know Cobb can do that. He can go into the backfield. I have not seen that out of Allison. We can... even if he's not, he can be a somewhat of a threat to run, but really more than anything, you get him in the backfield to get him lined up on maybe a safety creep out of the box or a linebacker. That's versatility that can give you, especially in the no huddle game. I've seen Cobb do that, especially with him and Montgomery in there. You can mix up your packages. I don't think you can do that with Allison. There's a whole lot of stuff Cobb brings to the table. I mean, really what it comes down to for me, we've seen Allison. I really liked him in the preseason. I like what I've seen of him so far. We've seen Allison for two games. We've seen Cobb since 2011. And I think the only thing that holds it back is Cobb's health. But if he's healthy, I don't think there's any reason that Cobb wouldn't be out there. Now, the one thing that Christina did bring up was Nelson in the slot. Nelson has been just insane out of the slot. I don't remember the actual stat, but I think Rodgers' QB rating is like above 130 when Cobb is in the slot when Nelson's in the slot. But throwing Cobb out there doesn't necessarily mean he has to be in the slot and Nelson has to be outside. If anything, it gives you a little bit of flexibility. I've seen Cobb line up outside. I've seen Ripkowski line up outside. Having Cobb in there doesn't necessarily mean that he has to play the slot and Nelson has to go outside. It gives you a little bit of added flexibility there. So I'd say if healthy, if 100% or even 80% healthy, I'd rather have Cobb out there than Allison just for the versatility that he gives to the Packers.
And Jordan.
Well, I mean, that's a big if you're talking about Cobb's health. Now, when you're talking about peak efficiency of this offense, obviously you want to have both of those guys out there. But in this case, I truly believe you got to ride the hot hand. Cobb this season, considering he's been a part of this offense for about six seasons now, his targets over the last half of the season, while he's still relatively healthy, certainly went down. He's not the weapon that he once was, even when he was somewhat healthy. Whereas, and you say just two games for Geronimo Allison, but it's the last two games. He's played really well, and he is in his last two games, which were big games for this team, and he stepped up. Not to mention that he's obviously got the trust of Aaron Rodgers, which is huge. Not to say that Cobb does not, but you know, with Cobb being out, Allison has certainly taken advantage of this opportunity. So even if Cobb is a little hobbled, I still foresee Allison getting a good percentage of the snaps at wide receiver. I think Jordy plays a lot in the slot. I mean, Jordy has been our best receiver over the past few weeks, but it hasn't been exclusively the deep ball. I mean, it's been more the third and mid range, and Jordy's there for the first downs or in the red zone, which I'm not taking that away from him. That's fantastic, but Geronimo has been a more of a deep threat these past couple weeks, and I think that continues. Cobb has not been much of a deep threat at all this season. He had about a 50-yard catch in the Washington game, which nobody probably remembers. It was probably meaningless at the time. So you kind of lose that when you have Cobb on the field as well. So I just feel that the fact that Rodgers has really been focused on getting the ball to Allison, and Allison's been, you know, getting open in those clutch situations downfield, I think you got to ride the hot hand in this case.
Jordan, without further ado, I'm crowning you the champion of this evening's coin toss segment. The key word that won it for you was this season, and I completely completely agree with what you're saying that, you know, right now, ride the hot hand. We're talking about this season. Cobb, in general, yes, he is a way better option than Geronimo Allison. But, you know, given where Cobb's at this year and where Geronimo is at and the plays that he's making, you got to let this hot offense continue. So, Jordan, congratulations.
And just a couple more points. I mean, obviously, a healthy Randall Cobb along with a healthy Allison, I mean, that's what we want. That's what this team really wants. You get both those guys healthy, that just makes us even tougher to defend. It's just I found it interesting. I was looking up old their scouting reports on Allison, and the one thing they said was, you know, that he doesn't have top-end speed, which he doesn't have top-end speed, but his 40 time at the combine was 4.67. I'm watching this guy play, and I find that hard to believe. I don't know. He seems faster than that when he's out there. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's
well, more than fast. I mean, he seems smart, but he seems tall. I don't know how tall he is, but he seems like he plays taller than he is. Like
He's 6'3".
Yeah, his reach on some of those plays is real, real nice. He can get up real high for those. Yeah. Like, he's not like a top end athlete for sure, but I mean, he's made plays.
And it's surprising. You mentioned the 6'3 height. That is what makes it really confusing how this guy didn't go in the sixth or seventh to me. Just a tall receiver like that. He's obviously got good ball skills. And if the only thing going against him was his speed, it must have been really bad at the combine. It must have been really bad for him to fall out.
Like a 5'2.
For that guy to fall out of the draft. He's a good college player. So I find that surprising, but I mean, we're better off for it.
I mean, I feel pretty confident that I can probably run 15 yards in 4.67 seconds. So that just
we're gonna have to try that out. I'd like to see that, John.
You know what else?
We're gonna have a Pack to the Future combine in March. Check it out.
And I have a really good idea to add to this event. It's gonna be T-shirts, and they're gonna be provided by a very standout clothing company that Jordan has the privilege of telling you all about.
And I love talking about these guys every week. It's Pride and Glory Clothing Company. We talk about them every week. Great Packers apparel. You know, we're past Christmas, but guys, we're in the playoff season. So I mean, what's more important, Christmas or the playoffs? I'll let you guys answer that. But there's so much good stuff. You know, we've talked about the sweatshirts. They're great designs. The wristbands. The beanies, there's so many great options. Check them out. It's prideandglory63.com. Our good friend Fred Thurston at the Sweep at Pack to the Future running this company. So check it out, prideandglory63.com.
All right, guys. I am here with Colleen Wagner. She writes for gmanhq.com, which is part of FanSided. Colleen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Thank you for joining us. I know this is always one of my favorite parts of the show, is just to hear what's happening on the other side of the ball. And from everything that I've been reading and seeing with these Giants right now, they are one of the hottest teams in the NFL, and they're facing the Packers, who are also one of the hottest teams in the NFL. So we should be in for at least, I feel what's going to be a pretty amazing game on Sunday. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that they put this game prime time. There's a reason they put it Sunday evening. Cause it's the best game of the weekend by far. It's not even close. Two of the hottest teams in the NFL going at it, arguably, my vote for MVP and Aaron Rodgers up against probably the best defense in the NFL, right now, the best defense in the NFL. So it'll be definitely an offense, great offense versus a stellar defense matchup. It'll be fun to watch.
I know. I just wrote my article for Pack to the Future today, and I was seeing the numbers that this Giants defense has had recently, and it's been very impressive. I saw that over the last six games, they haven't allowed a quarterback to throw over 192 yards, and that's just they're playing out of their minds right now.
Yeah, totally, and Janoris Jenkins has been pretty much shut down. It's such a great thing for him to get voted into the Pro Bowl for the first time. But he is, I mean, he deserves it. He's had an outstanding season, great signing by the Giants in the offseason. And he's a big reason that, he's a huge reason that this defense is playing so well right now.
And I know that, I mean, we're talking about the defense because they've been playing really well. But, I mean, when you think about the Giants, you think about Eli Manning, two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. You think about Odell Beckham, who has just established himself as one of the premier wide receivers in the National Football League. So I kind of want to, you know, the defense we know for the Giants is going to be there. But the last time the Packers and Giants faced each other, the receivers didn't really live up to their hype. And I'm kind of just wondering where this group is at right now and what we should expect to see from them on Sunday.
Yeah, last time the Giants faced the Packers early in the season, it was a big hype because they were arguably the best wide receiving core in the NFL up against your injured secondary. And going in, Giants fans thought that we were going to just burn you guys, but that didn't happen. Your secondary really stepped up. But now we got the running game going a little bit, which opens up the pass game. So hopefully the Giants can get things going unlike they did last time in Lambeau.
I mean, this is ODB's playoff debut this week. I mean, are you expecting some pretty great things out of Odell this week?
Yeah, I am. I mean, he's such a dynamic player, and you can tell he loves the game, and this is his first time in the playoffs. I'm expecting him to go off. As long as, you know, Eli can get him the ball safely, as long as Eli doesn't make mistakes and doesn't force it to him.
I mean, I saw the game against Philadelphia a couple weeks ago that you guys targeted Beckham 20 times, and I'm like, man, if he gets anywhere close to that kind of range and targets, I mean, the guy is just, he's destined to throw up numbers against the Packers. So that's definitely in my mind, the key matchup to watch in this game is just how Dom Capers is going to scheme for Odell Beckham and just seeing if there's any possible way to shut him down a second time this year. And, which leads me to my next offensive question for you. And, that is, you know, and again, I'm just basing all this off the last time the Packers and Giants played. And last time, the running game also really wasn't there for the Giants. Have you guys found something in your running game since the last time we met?
So recently, we've gotten the running game going. We've started really using rookie Paul Perkins a lot more. And Perkins, compared to Jennings, Perkins has a lot. He has a quicker burst. He has an ability to burst through the hole. Also, our O-line is playing a little bit better. Justin Pugh's back from injury, and he helps a tremendous amount. So, you know, the last two games, we have been running the ball well. But at the same time, the Redskins, if you look back to last week, the Redskins' defense is not good. So I don't think that this is a good... I'm not sure that that's a good example of... We'll just have to find out. We'll have to find out if that running game will build some consistency.
And that's the other key part of this game too, is just you know, the ability for the Giants to run the ball and keep Aaron on the sidelines for as long as possible. And just getting into that, what do you feel the Giants need to do on Sunday to beat the Packers in this playoff matchup?
I think the most important thing we have to do, the way we beat the Packers is by winning at the line and being able to create a running game. Eli can't do it on his own. Odell can't do it on his own. We've seen that time and time again. So the only way to beat this hot Packers team is to be able to to run the ball and to give different play calls. We can't just be passing the ball the whole time. And we'll see if we can do that. It'll be interesting.
And do you have any kind of final score prediction for this week?
Yeah, I got to go with the Packers. I think that it's a home game. It's a home game for the Packers, and I don't really trust our O-line and our run game just yet. I think it'll be a duel, though. I think our defense, the Giants' defense going up against Aaron Rodgers, will be must-see TV. But my final score prediction is 24-17 Packers.
Okay. I mean, I remember the last two times the Giants and Packers met in the playoffs, and I feel like the Packers were favored in both those matchups, and the Giants came out with the W. So I'm not necessarily comfortable with you picking the Packers, because that hasn't really worked out too well for the Packers. I think you nailed it on the head. I think that this game is definitely must-see TV. I think it's easily the best matchup. You said it perfectly when you said there's a reason this game is going to be in prime time, because it's easily the two of the best teams in the playoffs. So it's going to be a good one. And Pack to the Future fans and anyone else listening, you can find Colleen on Twitter at Colleen_KSR. Guys, go follow her and check out all of her stuff. And Colleen, I just appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us tonight. And let's look forward to this game on Sunday.
All right, I can't wait. Thanks for having me.
All right, no problem. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, now it is time to get back into our playoff coverage of the Green and Gold this week. And Brian Fonfara is about to bestow upon all of you worthy Packer fans the keys to this week's victory.
Those who are not worthy can also listen if you want. I really don't.
But they're all worthy because they're Packer fans. So.
Oh, well, then we're good. I don't know why we had to break them down like that.
It's because I wanted to.
Well, I know we have one Bears fan that listens every week no matter what. So.
Oh, boy.
Unworthy people can listen too.
Valid point.
Yeah, thank you. I'm full of those. Okay. Two things I have on my list for this week for what the Packers need to do. And as I've mentioned before, I know that Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy and even Ted Thompson from time to time listens to this show, and they tried their hardest to implement my game plans. So, guys, if you're listening right now, hi, how are you? All right, number one, I've got frustrate Odell Beckham Jr. Their entire offensive game plan in New York is just throw the ball to him as many times as they can, as I mentioned before. So double coverage, triple coverage, whatever it takes, like they're going to throw the ball to him 20 plus times, no matter if he's open or not. So you know the guy lining up across from Odell Beckham is going to be Ladarius Gunter. He's by far been our best and most consistent corner this year. You remember the job he did on Julio Jones earlier in the year. Just push him, frustrate him, make him angry. He's not going to get open if that happens, and they're still going to throw the ball to him. So we can disrupt their entire offensive game plan by just making this one guy angry. The other thing, I thought on my end that Sunday night was probably the best game that Mike McCarthy has coached and called in 2+ years. I thought he did such a good job. We saw things that we hadn't seen during the season. Things that were unexpected is the big thing. So third down and one, we've got Rutkowski in the backfield, and Aaron Rodgers runs a bootleg and gets the first down. Unexpected. using, as I mentioned in the past few weeks, using Rutkowski in places where he wasn't expected to be used. You expect to use him on third and one, but they just used him as the feature back, and it worked because they didn't game plan for it. Now that adds a whole new wrinkle that the Giants suddenly have to game plan for, and we've got two very different, very complementary running backs that we can go to. So keep up with the unexpected twists that you've been running, and I think we're going to have a lot of success. It's a good defense that we're up against, but we can have a lot of success here. All right. Having said that, those are the two things I think we need to do to win. I think we will get a win. Big part is that Eli Manning has just not been good. Even the games where he puts up numbers, you see him floating a lot of passes. You see him making a lot of dumb passes, underthrowing, overthrowing. When you compare it to the years that he won the Super Bowl, right now he just looks lost. Absolutely lost. Like, he has no idea what's going on in this offense. And I don't know if that's Eli. I don't know if that's Ben McAdoo. I don't know. But this offense is beatable. And the way our offense is playing, even though we're going up against a pretty good defense, we're going to put up a lot of points. So I'm going to say we're going to win this one 34-17.
That is a beautiful, beautiful score. And Dusty, let us hear some playoff numbers.
All right. Brian mentioned Eli being not being great. And I think that's one of the big keys in this game is last game. So the last time we played him, actually, this is fairly interesting. Last time we played him was the only game this season that the Giants have lost without Eli throwing an interception. Every other loss they have, he has at least one interception in it. So they can beat them. The Packers can beat the Giants without forcing an interception, although I would not advise it. In that game, they held the Giants to 43 yards rushing, which is pretty impressive. They're going to have to do that again. Giants are not a great rushing team, but they have gone for over 100 yards in each of their last three games. But if they can take the run game out early and force Manning to throw the ball, Manning has attempted 35 or more passes in 11 games this year. In seven of those games, he's thrown an interception. And in six of those seven have been multi-interception games. So over half of the games in which he's thrown over 35 passes, he's thrown multiple interceptions. So if the Packers shut down the run game early, they can be assured, like Brian was saying, the forcing into Odell Beckham. If they can get Manning to throw a lot and try to force into Odell Beckham, and if they plan for that, which I assume they will, the Packers are going to get a couple balls they can intercept, at least a couple they can intercept, and they're going to have to take advantage of that. I mean, that's one of the huge keys in this game. Again, they can beat them without intercepting the ball, but interceptions are going to be huge in this game, and I think the Packers can force those. They've been very, very good at that. Another area to look at is the Giants have the best red zone defense in the league this year. They've only allowed touchdowns on opponents 39.5% of their trips into the red zone. They've allowed touchdowns on. In the past three games, they've been even better. They're only allowing touchdowns on 16.7% of their trips. Now, looking at that, the average opponent over their last three games have been 13th at getting into the red zone, only averaging 3.4 trips per game, and 23rd at converting at 49. The Packers are second in the league at getting into the red zone at 4.1 trips per game, and converting, they're 10th in the league at converting at 60.6%. So, say, the Giants only allowing a touchdown on 16.7% of their trips in the past three games, I think it seems to be a bit fluky. Now, they are good, but that is a fluky number. Especially considering that number is twice as good as their season average. I expect to see a little regression in there, especially since the Packers are a better team than they faced lately as far as red zone scoring is concerned. So that's something to keep an eye on. One last thing. We know the Packers' defense is susceptible to long passes outside the numbers. That could be even more so, as we talked about earlier, with Rollins likely missing this game. As it so happens, the Lions love to throw outside the numbers. They average 5.3 attempts per game deep outside the numbers. They average just a shade under 10 yards per attempt when targeting that area. They're particularly good at first down the deep left. They average 15.4 yards per attempt down there. So I can see the Giants taking a couple shots deep downfield early in the game. If it works, they're just going to keep chucking down there till the Packers can prove they can stop them. And maybe that comes in the form of an interception, or maybe just they can cover down the field a little bit. But just keep an eye on that, man. Giants, I think, especially if they can't get the running game off, they're going to start gunning downfield. All that being said, man, I feel good about this game. Maybe it's just kind of coming off of the division win after they were 4-6 on the season, but I'm feeling real, real good. So I'm going to go with this one. Giants defense is legit, so that's scary a little bit, but the Packers offense has been rolling, and the Giants offense is terrible. So even against a poor Packers defense, I think the Giants are going to struggle to score a little bit just because, as Brian's point, Eli's a little lost. I'm going to go Packers 27-17.
Dusty, are you kidding me? That is the exact same score I was going to predict for the Packers. Can we keep the same score, or should I switch mine up a little bit?
I think we keep the same score, John.
Yeah. Let's be twinning on this one, and then we will
I'm here for it.
We will have a Google Hangout with a celebratory drink when our score is correct. I mean,
I'll be right here, buddy.
I love you bringing up the turnovers. I mean, over the last 4 weeks, the Packers have forced 13 turnovers while not committing one. So Packers are getting turnovers, and I'm thinking that that's going to play a big part in this game. And Jordan, give us your final score prediction, and then I think we got some Twitter questions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of the stuff that Brian and Dusty have said. I mean, I definitely agree with. I think the keys to the game are Rodgers needs to play like Rodgers, and we can't let their running game. We can't let guys like Paul Perkins, Rashad Jennings, gash us for big plays and be a consistent threat throughout that game. If we do those two things, I think we come out on top. I'm still the whole playoff Eli thing. I know it's kind of, a little bit of a joke with how poorly he has played at times this season, but I'm kind of a believer in it. There's something to be said for the way the guy plays come playoff time. That being said, I think Lambeau Field and the way that Aaron is playing right now, I think is too much. I think it's close. I think it's a nail biter. I'm going to go Packers 26, Giants 23. And we do have a couple of Twitter questions from our resident Bears fan, listener, and contributor to PackToTheFuture.com, Brian Avilas. You can find him at BrianBBLL148. Give him a follow. His first question is, did the coaching staff buy themselves another season? I mean, Mike McCarthy's not going anywhere. That's 100% guarantee. He'll be here next year, and I think rightfully so. I honestly think, and you guys debated this, I did not, when you talk about Ted Thompson and Elliott Wolf. If Ted Thompson is still our GM next season, I think the coaching staff is fully intact. If Elliott Wolf or someone else is our GM, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. I mean, the track record of Capers is pretty clear. We've seen the performance of the defense, and you can't put everything on him, but there's a great argument to be made for making a move and making a change at the defensive coordinator position. So I think if I'll reiterate what I said, if Ted is our GM, nothing changes. If we have a different GM, then I have no clue. I really have no idea. I don't know what you guys think about this.
I said it in a coin toss a couple weeks ago that I am not lucky enough for Dom Capers to get fired. And I'm standing by that. The fact that we make the playoffs is enough for our front office. So I doubt anything's going to happen.
Jordan, I think I'm with you. I honestly hadn't thought about how a change in GM would possibly change that. I was kind of thinking once they made the playoffs that Capers' job was secure. I don't think it should be. And like you said, McCarthy's not going anywhere. But if there is a change at the GM spot, I could see Capers getting shown the door, or maybe kept on for one more year or something, as kind of as they search for someone else. But I didn't think of that angle before. I wouldn't be shocked to see Dom gone if Wolf is in charge next year.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. That'll be a very interesting development. I mean, we've had Thompson for over a decade now. It's just gonna be, it'd be weird. It'd be weird without him there. So yeah, it's gonna happen eventually. But if it happens this offseason, that would be very, very interesting development. All right, another question from Brian. Do you guys think the Giants are the scariest team you could face in the NFC? No. Simply no. I mean, we've talked a little about their limitations at offense. If Beckham is neutralized, that's not a scary team. They're still a very good team. Two-time Super Bowl winner quarterback. I mean, that's, you can't say boo to that. But scary, no. Scary is, to me, I mean, Dallas was the best team. For me, the team that I would be nervous to go play, truthfully, is Atlanta. I think Atlanta is the best team in the NFC. Me personally, there's been a lot of talk about Rodgers being the MVP. I'm actually in the MVP case for Matt Ryan. I think he's been more consistent this year. The stats speak for themselves. I know he has Julio Jones, And people always bring that up. But that if you bring that argument up, you're discrediting Jordy Nelson for the Packers too. So that's, you can't really make that argument as a Packer fan, in my opinion. So for me, I know the Cowboys have looked fantastic at times, or not, I shouldn't say at times. They've looked fantastic pretty much the whole season, but you're still talking about a rookie quarterback, a rookie running back, and all of the pressure, 100% of the pressure is on them to get to the Super Bowl. That's a big ask. That is a big ask. If those guys do it, then props to them. Then the Cowboys are they're set for a while. But for me, I think the experience of Matt Ryan, the talent of Julio Jones, I think they're the scariest team in the NFC right now.
For me, the only team that's less scary to me than the Giants is the Lions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
You can just go back to everything that Jordan just said. Like, those are the only two teams that I would look forward to playing in this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you guys. I mean, I would say I would hate playing the Cowboys a little more, just because, I mean, that Falcons defense is not very good, and the Cowboys defense is slightly better. If nothing else, they've got Sean Lee, who's just played every game, I think, except the last one, just because he sat out this year. Just a huge difference maker at linebacker. I don't really know Atlanta's got anyone like that on defense. He can swing a game. He can be in the backfield all game. But I mean, either of those two teams, I'd hate to face. Seattle, going into Seattle and playing. I know we beat them handily in Lambeau earlier, but I mean, I would much rather face. I mean, you said it, Brian. The only team I'd rather face other than the Giants would be the Lions. The other three teams scare me. Not to say we can't beat them, but yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup. It's not a scary one, I don't think.
There we go. One more question, guys. One more question for you. This comes from Fred Thurston, our friend of Pack to the Future, the Sweet Podcast, and our sponsor. His question is, every postseason, someone shines. He's exactly right. Who will, quote-unquote, break out this year for the Packers, and who will break out for the NFL? I think when he asks this breakout question, I imagine in the back of his mind he's thinking of like a James Starks did in our Super Bowl run, somebody like that. And I'm kind of going in that same route for a running back. I think if you're kind of going a little bit more dark horse candidate, I think a guy like Christine Michael could really be a guy that makes some big plays for us in big moments of some of these playoff games. I mean, you know, we had a long discussion about Allison, and then you talk about the usual suspects. I mean, Jordy Nelson, Aaron Rodgers, those guys aren't breakout stars. They've been stars now for quite a few years. So for me, it's Michael. The other guy I was possibly thinking about was a Jared Cook, who's been really playing well for us the past few weeks. I mean, that guy's there were a couple throws, particularly, I think one throw I'm really remembering, I don't remember the down and distance, but just he threw this amazing, it's great coverage. It's great coverage on Jared Cook. He throws it up for grabs and Cook just goes up and gets it. And that is something Richard Rodgers doesn't offer us. We haven't had that threat since Finley. And if that threat still continues, we have that, then, I mean, Jared Cook could be a game changer in these games. So I look at guys like that. You know what you get with most of the other receivers at this point. It's guys like that that could really step up and make this offense very tough to deal with. And for the NFL, I'm gonna go total bandwagon on this because I really want them to win and do well. I'm gonna go Connor Cook because I believe he was announced the starting quarterback for the Raiders. I hope he breaks out, you know, takes them all the way to the Super Bowl. I'd love that. I would love nothing more than for the Raiders to just cruise through the AFC and get to the Super Bowl.
All right. So mine would be, for Packers, I was actually going to go, Allison. We spent a lot of words on him earlier. I do think he can have a couple huge catches. I mean, it doesn't take much to break out. You could have a couple just huge catches and big moments in your breakout. But I'm actually going to go other side of the ball. I'm going to go, Kentrell Bryce with some of the injuries they've had with Rollins out. Bryce is going to be getting a little more time. We saw that, especially with Burnett kind of rotating down to the line to take away some tight ends, which he's done well. We're going to continue seeing Burnett doing that, which means we're going to have a lot of Clinton Dix and Bryce deep, I believe. Now, we saw Bryce just a huge hitter, man. Just his closing speed is just insane. I kind of think of the 07 playoff run. I think of Atari Bigby against Seattle. Just some of the plays he had in that game. This perfectly timed hits to jar balls loose. I think he had a forced fumble. Like, he had about two series where he looked like a man possessed. I think Bryce is capable of that. I think he's gotten a little better every week. He's still not great. I kind of trembled. I saw him as the single high safety going into a play this past week that Stafford just missed on, and it just even before the ball was snapped, I was just wincing, knowing they're going to take a shot. He's still got a lot to learn, but I also think he can make some really, really, really big plays. So for the Packers, I can see Bryce being that guy. For the NFL, this was tough. Fantasy players know him, I guess, but I'm going to go Jay Ajayi over down in Miami. They're going up against Pittsburgh. Last time they played Pittsburgh, he went for over 200 yards. He's gone for over 200 yards three times this season. He's been really, really good. I think Miami's going to take out Pittsburgh. I think he's going to have a huge game. And I don't know if they're going to advance past that, but I think he's going to have a huge game this weekend. And I think a lot of people are going to find out just how good he is.
I'm going to go ahead and jump in on this real quick. And I'm going to stick on the same side of the ball as Dusty. And I'm going to go with Nick Perry. And right now, Nick Perry is sitting at 6 career total sacks in the postseason. And Clay Matthews leads the Packers in all-time sacks, postseason sacks at 10. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Nick Perry passes Clay Matthews and becomes the all-time postseason sacks leader for the Packers this postseason. And I don't have an NFL one because I'm not that bold right now. So Tyreek Hill.
Fair enough.
All right. I've got two good ones here. For the Packers, I've got Jayrone Elliott. Guy who just every time he gets on the field, he makes a play. But he's never on the field, and I can't figure out why. I really can't. I love the guy. I'm a huge fan of his. Doesn't get enough burn, in my opinion. So watch out for him. We've seen him have multiple sack games and then not play again for 6 weeks. So now's about that time, because he had a huge game against the Seahawks about a month ago. For the NFL, a little known and very scarcely talked about quarterback down in Texas, Brock Osweiler is actually going to be getting the start for the Texans this week. So watch out for that young stud.
That's your off that train, Brian. That's your off that train. Thought we broke you with that, brother.
One does not just jump off of the Brock Osweiler hype train.
a lot of people did.
I'll give him credit. It is a great opportunity to win the NFL Comeback Player of the Year award.
Yeah, right.
He comes back and plays well. You know, gets to 220, 225 yards passing. I mean, it could be great.
Boom, boom. I am off the train.
Joke's on us. Brian had us all convinced that he was off the train. He had us all fooled now. He has actually never been off the train and still loves Brock Osweiler.
Not once. I've been driving it from day one, guys. Come on.
You're such a heel on this podcast, Brian. In true heel fashion, let's hear all of your negative final thoughts to get everyone super pissed off.
Okay, my final thought here, I'll give you, honestly, it's not even that negative, to be honest. All right, so Fox Sports, like the second that the final whistle went off and the Packers won the division, Fox Sports hit publish on an article saying the Packers made a mistake by winning the division and drawing the Giants at home instead of tanking the game away and going to Seattle to play a playoff game, because we've done so well in Seattle over the last few years. Jeez, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe they make a valid argument when I actually click the link. They didn't. Their main argument for us wanting to play the Seahawks instead of the Giants is because the Seahawks just barely beat the 49ers. So what I did was I opened up the Packers' schedule and I took a look at some of these games. Let's see. There was us getting beat to hell by the Colts. There was us getting beat to hell even worse by the Titans. Two non-playoff teams, by the way. Us getting beat to hell by the Redskins. A non-playoff team, by the way. We didn't beat the Texans by all that much. We just barely got that win over the Bears in week 15. Man, like our our record isn't any more impressive than theirs is. Like, why would you possibly rather travel to Seattle than play a game at Lambeau when you're the home team? Ugh, that drove me nuts.
On a short week, too, right? That's a Saturday game.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Like, the depths of the idiocy in that article just know no bounds. Ugh. Thank you for listening to my rant on that, by the way. And if you're looking for awesome content that does not use clickbait just to get your attention, packtothefuture.com, we have some awesome stuff lined up for this next year. We got some cool stuff ready for the off season. We got some big stuff that we're going to roll out for next season. Man, just stay tuned because we are having an absolute blast running this website, and things are going well. We're happy, and we're going to bring you a whole lot of cool stuff. So, non-corporate, awesome website. Just give us clicks, man. That's all we ask. All right, you can find me online at PTTF_Brian. You can find our account at PTTF_podcast. Listen to us every week. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us some feedback. Leave us reviews. They help a lot. And make sure you're also listening to The Sweep, our sister podcast with Fred Thurston and Blaine Hornes. Thank you.
And Dusty, the Chiefs have a bye week this week, so we can't get a $9 Chiefs playoff ticket. So,
very upset.
What's happening in the world of tickets right now?
All right, man. So in the world of tickets, as you can imagine, we got 4 playoff games this weekend. None of them are cheap. But there is one that is cheaper than others, and that is, if you couldn't guess it, that's Oakland at Houston. Now again, not cheap. But you can get a ticket for that for $104 for a playoff game. Like, that's not bad. If I was a Houston fan that, you know, didn't have anything better to do.
You might have to pay me $104 to go to that game.
I'd go to that game. But as you mentioned, like, the two quarterbacks we've gotten there, it's Connor Cook and Brock Osweiler. Like, I don't know, man. Connor Cook never really impressed me in college. He showed out fairly well against the Broncos when he came in for an injured McGloin this past weekend. I didn't watch it. The game was already out of hand, so I don't know what the Broncos necessarily were doing besides Tlaib just ripping necklaces off at every opportunity he could. This is going to be a real, real bad game. Like, just remarkably bad. And, like, just for Houston, too, like, just thinking back, so I live in Kentucky, and so our closest team is the Bengals. And so I've seen a lot of Bengals games on accident. And I think 2 years in a row, the Bengals lost to Houston in the playoffs in, like, the same just boring, terrible games. And it was like TJ Yates was the quarterback. And, like, Brock Osweiler might be worse than TJ Yates. It's going to be. I said
that's a hot take
is what it is. And it's a shot across the bow at Brian is what that is. I'm just trying to keep the heat up, boys. So, I mean, that's going to be an ugly, ugly game, but you can go to it for $104 for a playoff game, which is exciting.
It's not bad.
I've got 2 more final thoughts, guys, both football related. So I know. I'll say the touchdown Aaron Rodgers threw to Geronimo Allison this past weekend, where he just ran around for whatever, like 9 seconds, and then across his body, just set up and just threw like a diving dart, just barely out of the reach. And then Allison made that catch. Like, I've watched that a lot of times. Just dozens of times since that happened. And I keep saying, man, that might be the best throw I've ever seen. The thing is, Rodgers has, like, the best throw I've ever seen multiple times a season. It's incredible. I don't know how he does it. So, just, again, I've said this many, many times. Man, the fact that we get to watch this guy week in, week out, just do some of this stuff, even on an off week, man, he can just blow your mind just with one play every week, if nothing else. And he was on this past week, and that throw was just insane. So that was, just sit down and watch that play like 3 dozen times, and you'll just fall in love every single time. Last one, I mentioned this before. So the Packers had run 2 weeks in a row. They ran against the Texans and Seahawks, the Jeff Janis end-around. Brian named it the Jeff Sweep.
The Jeff Sweep.
Technically, it was more an end-around than a jet sweep.
Hey,
Semantics. Semantics. So both of them were the same way, with Janis starting on the right side, running across formation to the left, and a pitch, and he took it. Now, it worked 2 weeks in a row. The next week, they ran against the Bears, ran a little fake, ran back against it. They did a handoff, I think, to Montgomery inside, and got stuffed. But I think we're going to see it in a big moment in this game. If this game is close late, we're going to see Janis lining up on the right, going over to the left, and we're going to see a fake pitch, and we're going to see a counter. I think it's probably going to be a screen back to the right, but they didn't run that against Seattle to run the score up. They ran that to get that on tape. And now that that's on tape, that they've done that a couple weeks, I really think we're going to see – I kept waiting for the playoffs to happen. I think we're going to see it. If it's a close game late in the game, watch for Janis on the right side running back across the left and just watch, see what the Packers do. I think that could be – I think that's going to happen. I think that could be a very, very huge play for Green Bay. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely.
And Jordan Peck.
Guys, we've been doing this podcast for about a year and a half now, and this is always the segment that I forget to prepare for. that being said, one thing I always do for whatever reason, I like looking forward even to the following, even though the playoffs are upon us, I like looking forward to the next season. After the last week of the season, the Packers already know their opponents for next season, and where they're actually playing them, which is exciting for me. Living here on the East Coast, I live in Virginia. And a lot of their road games are here. I mean, I got a game in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field next season. That's only about 3 hours away. I can go to Cleveland, probably catch a game for about $20. Hopefully it's early in the season. they're playing Carolina. They're playing Atlanta. They're playing Dallas on the road. I got a lot of good road games out here. So might be a good opportunity to see some cool road stadiums that I wouldn't go see otherwise. So that's what I'm excited about. But, guys, I'm excited to go to a game at Lambeau with you guys. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Hell yes.
I'm not going to lie. Besides the divisional games, there aren't that many exciting ones. we will be playing the Seahawks again in Lambeau Field next season. But the other home games we have are Bears, Lions, Vikings, obviously. But then we play the Saints, the Buccaneers, the Ravens, and the Bengals. I can't get excited about it. Maybe the Saints, maybe the Buccaneers.
I get down with that Saints or Bucks game.
NFC game, Jameis and Drew Brees. Yeah, I agree. But Bengals, no. Or the Ravens. I don't want to see elite Joe Flacco. I don't know.
So elite.
Because that game's going to be it's going to be in early October, week five.
Yep.
Jordan, did you go to that Bengals game with me in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I did. That was great.
That was
the game we were down 14-0. We scored 30 straight, and then we gave up 20. lost 34-30.
Yikes!
That was the Jonathan Franklin fumble
game.
Yes.
And I don't know if I have heard in an NFL stadium that loud in my entire life. Lambeau's been loud, but the place was rocking.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. The Bengals fan base. I lived about an hour out of Cincinnati for about 8 years. It's a very fickle fan base. Ohio is all about Ohio State. They don't really care that much about the Bengals. There's a lot more Browns fans in the state. But yeah, that's a nice stadium. I thought it was a nice stadium. It's a good place to watch a football game. I thought.
Let's go to the Bengals game at Lambeau. Get redemption
at Lambeau.
Get redemption.
Okay.
Get redemption.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
One of our very loyal listeners, if you could give us a sweet deal on tickets, we'd appreciate it. So we're going to the Bengals game. Send us your best offers and we'll take it from there. So
I like it.
Jordan, do you have a Twitter?
I do have a Twitter, John. You guys can find me at JGPeck41.
My final thought is I love asking Jordan if he has a Twitter every week. you can find me on Twitter at. No, I'm just kidding. I have one thing to say. I also like to, aside from my Packers, Brewers, and Bucks, I do tend to follow the UFC a little bit. And it's very sad to see the way that Ronda Rousey's career has gone. In these past couple fights, I think we may have seen the last of her in the octagon. I really do. She was dominant for so long. I mean, she had some insane knockouts in a row. I think under three fights in a row with three submissions in under 30 seconds. And then just these last couple fights, it's just been extremely rough to watch. So she definitely put the women's part of the UFC on the map for sure. And it's sad to see where it's going. And I hope that she can maybe find a good sports psychologist and get things turned around. But yeah, it's as a fan of the UFC, it's been very tough to watch her last couple fights. But Ronda, come back, be super Ronda Rousey again, and let's go from there. But you can find me on Twitter at John Jameson. As Jordan doesn't prepare for these things as well, nor do I. but as evident, but no, still find me on Twitter at John Jameson. And guys, let's look forward to watching an outstanding performance by the Green and Gold this week. Move on to the divisional round, and it doesn't matter who we play. Packers are going all the way this year. The pack is back. We're going all the way, and come back in next week for another edition of Pack of the Future Playoffs. Peace out.